My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Sam Lubman, Ken Luttrell with you here. One more hour, Sam. And look, we spent a lot of time with the San Francisco Giants. We're joined on the River Islands guest line earlier by the TV voice of the Giants, Dave Fleming. Fantastic conversation. You can go check out on any of our podcast page or rewind using the Odyssey app. But I do want to shift to the gridiron for a moment because we have a piece of news that is, I mean, pretty significant in the football world because it does make the newest, highest paid receiver, Tyreek Hill, in terms of fully guaranteed money. So this is from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins, Ken's favorite team, by the way, reached an agreement on a restructured contract worth $90 million over the next 3 years that includes 65 guaranteed. This brings the four-year total of fully guaranteed money to $106.5 million, the most ever for any receiver. No new years were added to the deal. And, of course, the deal was negotiated by Drew Rosenhaus and Jason Rosenhaus, Tyreek Hill's agents. But now Tyreek Hill's under contract through 2026. Jalen Waddle is under contract through 2028. And Tua Tagovailoa, who they also inked to a big contract for 4 years, is under contract through 2028. So the Dolphins have locked in their biggest three offensive weapons, and the Niners have yet to ink potentially, I don't know, their third or fourth biggest offensive weapon in Brandon Ayuk because he still doesn't have a contract. I don't know how much the Tyreek Hill deal impacts Ayuk, but it's just another wide receiver getting paid.
Yeah, so that's $106 million over the next 4 years. So if I do some rough math, so yeah, $27, $28 million a year, roughly in that area. So, which is
a fully guaranteed money.
A fully guaranteed, okay. Still, that's still a lot of money there. Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill, I mean, yeah, just rated the number one player in the NFL right now.
By his peers,
yes. Yeah, so Tyreek Hill, he's probably in that Justin Jefferson era category of just of receivers who are, you know, better than Brandon Ayuk.
Just below.
So we'll see. It'd be interesting to see how that does impact it. But I'm kind of curious, though. Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were dapping each other up. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were dapping Brandon Ayuk up, on the practice field. I'm curious how much that matters in terms of getting the Brandon Ayuk deal done. Is that a sign that they're close? Is that a sign that they're farther away? I would assume that it's not that. But it was the handshake heard around the world yesterday as far as 49ers fans are concerned.
Well, here's what the head coach of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, had to say on the bro hug.
Had a very enthusiastic hug with Brandon Ayuk yesterday, and it got national media attention because it signaled something. What did that signal?
This is usually how we greet each other. Honestly, you guys would see maybe a lot more hugs if we had a film for you guys, but we're not on Hard Knocks, so it's the only one on the field. You haven't been on the field a lot, and we walk by each other, and it's usually how we greet each other. Bro hug, nothing more, nothing less.
Where things stand with that? I mean, is it still stalemate? Any progress?
Yeah, no updates. Same with Trent.
No updates, but we did get a bro hug. They're bros, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, who amongst us hasn't bro hugged our boss, you know? I bro hug Nahigian all the time. That's a lie. I don't.
During negotiations for a new contract?
Oh, absolutely. That's how we know that the negotiations are indeed happening. You know, it's you sit down. All right, let's kick these negotiations off with a bro hug. And he's like, all right, look at this one. Here we go. And then we bro hug and then we're off. Then we're off to the races.
Yeah, I mean, I read it in a positive fashion. I know some people have had different interpretations of the hug. You know, Larry Kruger was
sensation.
Yeah, exactly. Larry Kruger was on with Willard and Dibbs a couple days ago and said that he felt like Brandon Ayuk is going to be traded if he had to really read into it. There's been people that have seen it as like a goodbye hug. I don't know, Sam. To me, someone doesn't look that happy. And also, I don't think Kyle Shanahan sounds the way that he sounds at the press conference discussing it. Now, he doesn't have updates on the contract, but I don't feel like he is as, I don't know, just kind of open and jovial and just easygoing about it, unless he feels like there's a pretty good chance that Ayuk is going to be around for a while. Not that players and coaches wouldn't dap each other up if, you know, maybe he was out the door. But I just don't get I'm reading the vibes in the room right now, Sam. And the vibes are good in Santa Clara. And that's why I think the vibes are also good with Brandon Ayuk. I think it's just a matter of time until he gets his deal.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he's there is very much a good thing. I mean, this is coming, you know, 2 weeks after he said, you know, trade me, you know, where he, you know, officially requested that, you know, to be traded to another team. But then he still shows up. He still is in good spirits. We had Matt Barrows on the other day, and he basically said that Brandon Ayuk's been doing everything at training camp other than actually participating in the practices. You know, he's going to the team meetings. He's in the film sessions. He's around the team. We saw him at camp. Obviously, he's walking on the sideline with John Lynch before he, you know, before practice, before getting in the golf cart and being shuttled off to who knows where. To me, that just shows me that, yeah, that if there, whatever negotiations are going on, and I know Ayuk, he said he's taking it personal, you know, and how these negotiations go, that just tells me that for the most part, it feels like that negotiations are at least pleasant. Let's just go with that. You know, they're not contentious. They're not hostile. You know, they're what appear to be a sense among those in Niner land that this will have a happy ending. You know, it's just a matter of what the number looks like. It was a similar situation with Nick Bosa last year where I don't think anyone really anticipated things going super south with Nick Bosa. Like, I don't think there was ever a fear that he was going to get traded or they're going to move off of him. We went through this with Debo in 2022 where, you know, he deleted the Niners from his socials. But again, it never felt like there was ever a serious effort to trade him. So they're in good spirits. They're getting along. They're all happy to be there. I got to have a feeling that if Brandon Ayuk really wanted out of the Niners, he wouldn't be at training camp acting as happy as he has been.
No, but I also think, and look, I think it's interesting that Tyreek Hill gets the money that he does today, because that was something that kind of was, I don't know, stirring in my mind yesterday. This idea that I think that if the 49ers could receive a haul that Tyreek Hill fetched the Kansas City Chiefs, that they would trade Brandon Ayuk. I do think part of it is the value of Ayuk is far more to the 49ers being on the team than as a trade chip. And not just because his absence would make them worse. Like, I think if they could get first round picks for Brandon Ayuk, I do think they would trade him. And I think it would help them now because they save some money. And it would help them in the future, obviously, with some capital that they would recoup. But I just don't think that any team is willing to give up probably even a first-round pick at this point for an Ayuk. And I would not trade him for anything less than a first-round pick. So I think that's where the Niners are a bit stuck. But they also feel comfortable enough with paying him. And the market has clarified enough to the point where I think that we finally have found, you know, I don't want to count someone's pockets, but I feel like we have found the floor for Brandon Ayuk, and I think that's about $27.5 million. I think that's the DJ Moore deal.
Yeah,
to me that would be the floor, and probably at this point I would imagine it's just ironing out some of the details. There's also a ceiling, which is Amon-Ra, and I think that ceiling has always been there, but this past week we've established what the price floor is for Brandon Ayuk, and I think that's important for both sides.
Yeah, I do think, I mean, I would have thought that going into this offseason, that 27, 28 range, that's about where I would have thought that Ayuk would come in on annually. It's basically, I think Debo's making $28 million a year too, right? Is that?
I think Debo's a little bit lower towards 20. This year might be 26, but he was, what, 3 for 72? Something like that.
So he's in that same area. I kind of envisioned IU kind of coming in around that same area as well. That 20, again, 27, 28 million. Well, first off, let me just address the trade thing. I mean, I feel like if you did trade him, yes, you do get, maybe you get a first round pick. Maybe you get 2 first round picks. You know,
Debo's cap hit this year is 28.
Okay. So maybe you trade Ayuk. Maybe you get a first round pick for next year. Maybe you can get a first round pick for the year after that. That would be pretty cool. What's that tell you about this year's team, though? This is, like, last year we were saying it's Super Bowl or bust. Some of us were saying Super Bowl or try again. I was in that camp. I know Willard was in that camp. I think we might have been the only two people in that camp. But when you look at the team this year, this is absolutely a team that, you know, if you strip away all of, you know, the outside nonsense, the fact that they just lost the Super Bowl, it's a team that, if you plug it all into Madden, looks like a team that will be playing in the Super Bowl right now. But if you do move off Brandon Ayuk, that message is, that you're saying is basically, we're punting on this season, and now it's all about what the next core of this 49ers team will look like as they try to build it around Brock Purdy. I don't think you can afford to trade Brandon Ayuk. I don't care if it's for draft picks for many, many years to come. If the goal is to win a Super Bowl, you need to have Brandon Ayuk on this team to do it. If you move off of him, that's basically saying that's not in the cards anymore. I just don't think the Niners can afford to do that right now with how this roster is constructed, how close they got last year, and really just how good of a chance they have this year. If they don't win it this year, it will because something colossally disappointing happened. But if you take away Brandon Ayuk, I think you take this team out of the Super Bowl contender tier, which is probably them and the Chiefs. And I don't know how you feel about the Bills and Ravens. Maybe they're in there too. But I think then you kind of knock them out to that next level of, like, you're the team that, you know, the conference champion beats on the way to the Super Bowl.
I would push back a little bit. I mean, I think that Ayuk is obviously important to this team, and they would not operate, at least out of the gates offensively, at an optimal level without him. But I would not take them out of the Super Bowl contender category if Ayuk was not on this team. I still think he will be a part of this team, but I think it's more because, again, he's worth more to the Niners than what the draft, I think that were the assets that will be coming back are worth. Like, if the 49ers could trade Brandon Ayuk right now for a first round pick and a third round pick, I would consider that.
Yeah, I mean, that would help you out for the future. I mean, depending on obviously who you trade him. Let's say it's Washington, just because I think that's the team that he's been connected to the most. You know, Washington, they're probably going to be, you know, a top 10 pick next year. You know, maybe it's in, you know, the 10 to 15 range if, you know, they get really hot later on, but they're probably a top 10 pick. That does help them out. I'm not quite sure who the best receivers in next year's draft are right now. I haven't looked that far ahead yet. And that'll certainly help the Niners out, because we all know that, well, for all, we know that the Niners can't afford everybody this year. Right now, this year, they can't afford to give Brandon Ayuk what he wants. They can't afford to give Trent Williams what he wants. The reason they're kind of being a little bit chummy with the money here is that they're looking for, you know, they're looking beyond next year, because they know that they got that big fat payday to Brock Purdy that's coming, that, you know, Bill Barnwell of ESPN projected could be north of $300 million. I think the number he had was 325, which is just a ridiculous number to think about for a quarterback. And then you see the deals that Tua got, the deal that Jordan Love got, and you start to realize, like, oh man, that $300 million deal is becoming more and more realistic with every passing day. And if Brock does go out and build on the season he had last year, it gets a lot harder to not give him that money. So I understand that they're looking there, but you have that. Those are decisions to have to make next offseason. Like, I get wanting to be prudent and wanting to set yourself up so those decisions next year are a little bit easier, but right now, this is your last chance, Paulie, to really win a Super Bowl with this core. Because if you fall short, there will be changes. You know, George Kittle, he's 30, 31 now. On the north side of 30, the clock is kind of ticking on how long he can be serviceable. Debo Samuel, you know, I think he would probably be the cap casualty if the Niners did sign Ayuk and had to make some cutbacks next year. That's just my thought looking at it. The other side of the Deebo coin is that we've seen how he plays. He plays very physical, very aggressive. He loves running into dudes. We saw that in the receiver dock. How much wear and tear can that body take up? So this year you have the window. You have to maximize it at all costs, I think, and deal with the future when the future gets here.
Yeah, but if you don't have an eye on the future, then the future could bite you in the ass. And what I mean by that is if you choose to pay Brandon Ayuk a lot of money, and again, I think they will, they're going to have some really tough choices to make at other positions. For example, these guys are set to hit free agency next offseason. Charvarius Ward, D'Amador Lenore, Aaron Banks, Talanoa Hufanga, and Dre Greenlaw. Those are all starting caliber players, and a couple of them have been all pros. Mm-hmm. So not to say that if you sign Ayuk, you can't retain all those guys.
It gets harder, absolutely.
It becomes significantly harder because those players are not going to command $28 million a year like Ayuk probably is, or around $28 million. So you're going to have to make choices. Another guy's Elijah Mitchell. I didn't throw him in there because I feel like he's probably the most replaceable of the bunch.
I don't think he's getting a reset the market deal now.
No, he's also replaceable. He's kind of at that position as well as in that stage of his career. Yeah, but that's what the Niners are looking at. And so I think they're trying to figure out and why they might be penny pinching a little bit, both with Brandon Ayuk as well as Trent Williams, a name we haven't brought up much yet, is because they're trying to allocate some future funds to these players that are younger, that ideally will get better and will help create the new core of 49ers, because I'm with you. I don't think they can keep this entire group together. The amount of players on the top 100 list, even if someone like Deebo Samuel, who the players vote on this list. The players told us that Deebo Samuel is seen around the league as better than Brandon Ayuk. I think Deebo was in the 30s, or if not number 30, and Ayuk was number 66. So we can believe that Ayuk is a better receiver all we want. The players themselves are telling us that Deebo is more important to the San Francisco 49ers than Brandon Ayuk is. But my fear, Sam, is that, yes, you do have to maximize this year, and you have to think about the rest of Brock Purdy's rookie contract, but you also have to consider what you're not going to be able to put around him on both sides of the football if you just continue to hand out contracts. Like that I think would be the biggest reason why I would consider trading Ayuk at this point, and why I've thought that's a possibility, is because if you're telling me I have to pay Ayuk, but I lose three future starters at other positions, that's a lot to give up.
Deebo, I think on top 100, came in at number 30. Brandon Ayuk was at number 66. So let's clear that up. No, I mean, I see the logic there, but the way I look at it is like, you're probably taking a step back regardless of what next year. You're probably taking a step back regardless of what happens this year. Whether you fall short of the playoffs, whether you fall short of the Super Bowl, whether you win the Super Bowl, you will be taking a step back next year because, as we've said numerous times, guys are going to become expensive. They're going to have to move off of guys. Someone's going to have to get traded. Someone's going to have to hit free agency. You're not going to have to rebuild. The Niners aren't going into a rebuild anytime soon. But you are going to have to go into a reload here. It is very hard to maintain this level of success in the NFL. I think it was, they're kind of caught in the situation that DJ Khaled once coined. They're suffering from success, whereas just these guys are so expensive that they're going to have to make these incredibly difficult conversations. That's a weekday one. So that's why I kind of like, you're taking the step back regardless. So I feel like that kind of just ups the urgency to take advantage of the opportunity before you right now of just like, we need to go all in for this Super Bowl because, it's going to be a couple years before we see this team back at this level because they're going to have to kind of retool this thing. I don't want to say rebuild. They're going to have to retool and reload this thing around Brock Purdy. Now, the good news is they will have Brock Purdy. In the NFL, they always say if you have a quarterback, you have a chance. And the Niners very much do have a quarterback. Is he, an elite level quarterback in the way that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes is? Time will tell. I think that I don't know if he'll ever be Patrick Mahomes level.
Well, he's not as dynamic as those guys, but he can be as efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he is absolutely a good enough quarterback to lead a team to a Super Bowl victory. I think we have seen the fact that he basically had them seconds away from winning it. I mean, there was a couple plays in that overtime there where if the Niners make the stop, the Niners are Super Bowl champions. I mean, the Chiefs won on the last play of overtime. If that pass had gone incomplete or if the Niners stopped too short of the goal line there, you would have had 0-0-0 on the clock there, and that's ball game. Niners win. I mean, they were pretty freaking close to winning it. And
they were, but so were the Philadelphia Eagles. And I would say that Jalen Hurts was far more of a reason why the Eagles were a field goal away from winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago than Brock Purdy was from the Niners losing in overtime last year.
Yeah, well, I think this gets in the conversation of if you do retool this team around Brock Purdy, you know, like, I think we were talking, I think you and Guru yesterday, you guys talked about what the identity of this team is. I heard snippets of it, but you just kind of refresh, you know, for the listeners maybe who didn't listen, you know, who did miss it yesterday. Wait, how did you just define the identity of this team going into this year?
Continuity. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think that's the identity of this team. They have the most continuity. And Guru also brought up, I think, a good point, which is talent. You know, that's their identity. And I think they have the most continuous talent in football, and that's not really debatable.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a team that you look at this team right now and say they're a team that's built around the success of their quarterback. I don't think, like, and I'm not saying that as a knock on Brock. No, not yet. And that's where, you know, the whole, do you think Brock can take that next step this year comes into play, which I don't think is talked about enough in terms of just, like, I feel like you ask some people and they would say that, yep, we saw the best of Brock Purdy last year. Like, that was the peak. It'll never be that good again. And I kind of refute that because, like, why does it have to be that way? He's coming in with a full offseason of work right now. He's in much better shape than last year. We've seen how smart he is in terms of just operating and commanding Kyle Shanahan's offense. He was on the TK show, you know, earlier this week, kind of talking about how his next goal is he wants to kind of get that freedom to kind of change things up a little bit at the line of scrimmage, which would be a massive step for Kyle Shanahan to allow a quarterback to do that.
Yeah, it would.
If Brock can reach that level, then I think you're feeling, oh, okay, this is a guy who actually maybe we can really retool this roster around going forward. Because this just my guess right now is if you were to kind of truth serum a lot of 49ers fans and ask them, how confident are you in this team if Brock Purdy was the foundation of it and not a collection of guys like Debo and Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey? I'm not sure there would be a universal belief that Brock can be the absolute pillar of this 49ers organization going forward.
Why do you think that, though?
I wonder if there's just this, there's the game manager label that is still stuck with him. And I do like how with Kawakami, he kind of flipped that as a positive, you know, saying basically it's like, well, yeah, if you can operate this system, you know, you're a pretty dynamic quarterback. I think part of it's that. I think a lot of part of it is just people still look at him and see pick 262. You know, they still see Mr. Irrelevant. They're still waiting for him to come crashing back down to earth. You know, they point at, you know, the struggles in the rain against Cleveland and against Green Bay. They point at, you know, the absolutely abysmal night he had on Christmas when, you know, he put lumps of coal in everybody's stocking.
Not mine. I actually made a lot of money on the Ravens that night.
Oh, look at you coming in big.
Yeah.
Santa hooked you up.
He did.
You know, so it's, there's this group. It's just, maybe it's just where we're at as fans, where we love to really just focus so much more on the negative things that happen. Cause I feel like we make such a big deal about, you know, what happened in Cleveland, what happened in Minnesota, what happened in Baltimore. The ugly game. I don't know if ugly, just the lackluster game he had against Washington. But he still had so many other great dynamic performances last year throughout the year. I mean, this is a guy when things were clicking, it was an easy 30 points per game. And so when I look at Brock, I see a guy who he's getting better every single time almost he takes the field. He's got the full offseason under his belt. He's got all the mentals that you want in a great quarterback. I see if we'll see how much better he looks this year. Even if he doesn't put up the same numbers, the same passing yards or whatever this year, you know, the eyeball test will tell us a lot about how much we could trust Brock Purdy as the pillar foundation of this 49ers offense going forward. I have faith in him. I love to see, hopefully, you know, we'll see that faith kind of grow within the 49ers faithful this year.
Well, let me ask you this, and I guess, you know, this is kind of just a quick conversation, which we can continue on the other side. You know, do you think Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback 7 years into the league than he was in his first full season as starter?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, because he's never had a better statistical season than his first full season as starter.
Well, I think a part of it also, I think just the more you play against.
I would agree, by the way. He is a better quarterback.
No, I agree. And I think a part of it is also, you know, it's not just how you get physically better. It's not just about how you put up better stats and how far you throw the football. You get a better understanding of this league. Like, I think at the end, when the greatest of the greats, they don't just beat you through ability. They beat you with their know-how. Like Peyton Manning at the end of his career, he was not the dynamic passer that he was in the prime of his career. But what he did have was, obviously, he had a great defense, but he also just had the intellect to know what the opposing defenses are going to throw at him. And he was smart enough to know how to use that knowledge to his advantage to kind of offset the physical deficiencies. I think that's how you're going to see Brock Purdy really kind of get better over these next few years, as he becomes not just a better quarterback physically, statistically, he's become a better quarterback mentally.
Well, and I do want to see him take a leap. I believe he can, but I'll tell you why on the other side. That, to me, is the difference in where the Niners are and where they want to get to. If you have any concerns about something like Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams, if you feel like there's nothing to see here, if you feel like, I don't know, perhaps the Niners might be thinking more about the future, and that's the reason why Ayuk is not under lock and key as of yet. We do want to hear from you at 888-957-9570. Also see people in the YouTube and Twitch chat. Shout out to you, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. But Saturdays with Evan Giddings and Sam Lubman. We'll be back on the other side for our final segment, taking up until noon, here right here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, one final segment here on Saturdays with Evan Giddings and Sam Lubman. Just like Sha'Carri Richardson, it's a sprint to the finish line. Sam, how we feeling?
You know, we're going to be chucking up some good sports takes here in this last 30 minutes here as we watch these shot putters here chuck the rock some 60 meters. I mean, this is what I love about the Olympics again, is you can get, you know, into these sports that you rarely ever watch. You see the best in the world doing it, and there's just something fun. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm a shot put fan. I'm not locked in on shot put. You put a gun to my head and say name three shot putters, just pull the trigger and get it over with. But you're still seeing the best of the best on the world stage, and there's just something awesome about seeing that level of competition. And
right now at these shot putters, I'm watching just a bunch of people who look like Gregor the Mountain Clegane just chucking this, you know, ball of rock down the field. And it is just, these are just some incredibly sized humans with a big old chalk stance on their neck, just absolute units of men. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know about these guys. Like, all of them look, you're right, just like absolute mountain men, just people from hills. I feel like they all have built their houses from the ground up with their bare hands.
They push the trees over, yeah.
And that's just basically what their training is. Like, they don't actually lift weights. They just, they cut wood. Or, I don't know, they carry and they forge just all these extremely awkward and heavy items in the hills of,
I'm sort of built for this.
Yeah, like in the hills of Finland or something.
That was a 22-meter shot right there
in the Americans
from Krauser.
It is funny though. So we were at the cafeteria yesterday. Mm-hmm. Myself, Ken, shout out to Guru, and another one of our
cafeteria here in this building.
No.
Okay. Let's say there's a cafeteria here?
No. We don't have one of those kinds of cafeterias.
I didn't know we were that set up.
Yeah, well, we were having a pop, you know,
all right,
an adult pop. And
it was International Beer Day yesterday.
I forget who brought this up. It's International Beer Day every day.
That is true.
I forget who brought this up, but someone, like, you know who Andrew Chafin is?
Yeah.
Reliever. I think he just got
former
traded.
Former A's reliever? Yeah.
Yeah, former A's reliever. He's pitched for a few teams, was on the Tigers.
He was looking for a boat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ken brought this up. Okay, thank you. Andrew Chafin's favorite Olympic event is,
I don't know what it's called, but it's something with the skis and the rifle.
The biathlon.
Oh,
the biathlon.
The biathlon. Yeah. Love me a good biathlon.
Yeah, it's basically guys that cross-country ski, or women that cross-country ski, and then pull out their rifle and shoot things, mm-hmm. you know, little targets, not actual people or animals.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they shoot targets. And there's been memes that have been going around social media that I think are fascinating, because it's like these Bond villains. I don't know if the sporting event is pistol shooting, but the way that they have their glasses lined up, like these beautifully colored monocles that they have, like their shooting glasses, basically, and the way that they aim and mm-hmm. kind of set up their gauge.
They have all sorts of equipment too.
They look like James Bond villains.
The aesthetics is incredible. On
they
some
also
of the
don't
shooters.
Miss.
Yeah, they got the rifle shooters. There's this one rifle shooter from China. Like, watching her do it, like, it's, first off, the way they shoot these rifles, it's not like how we traditionally shoot rifles, where you have it on your shoulder and you're kind of looking down the barrel, you know, directly down the barrel. They kind of are like holding the gun like sideways, like perpendicular to their chest, and they're kind of like looking down the barrel that way. And I'm doing a horrible job of describing it, so
I've never shot a gun, so
yeah.
I don't know.
So these rifles in the Olympics, yeah, they kind of have them up against their chest, and then they kind of turn to look into it while it's still held up against their chest. It's just very different from how I was traditionally, you know, taught how to shoot a rifle. And They do this really slow head turn. This one woman on the Chinese national team, it was just the coldest look on her face when she turns to look down the barrel, then, you know, boom, right into the bullseye. And it's just like, that is just so incredible. None more incredible, though, than, I'm going to botch the name again, Yusuf Dikek of Turkey, who took silver in the pistol shooting. You better be careful. With, you know, one hand in his pocket, just, you know, bullseyeing these things one after another. And I love, they asked him, you know, how come you don't use any of the specialized equipment that all these other shooters are using? He's like, oh, you know, I'm just a natural born shooter. Like, that's just such a cold line. And I didn't realize this. I think that was the first medal that Turkey has ever won in the Olympics. I don't know if it was ever, maybe just this year. If it was just the year, it would make more sense. But shout out to him, man. He has become the viral star of these Olympics, which has had a lot of viral stars.
Yeah, natural born shooter, not natural born killer. Shout out Woody Harrelson. You know, like, I think that a lot of these athletes, I don't know, do you have a favorite event? Like, so I brought up Andrew Chafin because I also thought it was funny, Ken, that event that he named was not a summer Olympic sport. It's a winter Olympic
yeah,
sport.
Yeah, well, the reporter said, well, I asked you, I'm talking about the Olympics like going on now in the summer games. He goes, well, you didn't specify.
So Chafin's a big winter Olympics guy.
I like the winter stuff.
The winter Olympics, I'll say, I'm more of a winter Olympics guy than the summer Olympics. But I mean, I'm an Olympics guy in general. You ask me what my favorite events are, I mean, the big ones, obviously, gymnastics, track, swimming. I'll leave those to the side. The one I really enjoy a lot, it's the kayaking slalom, where you kind of go down the little whitewater river in your kayak, and you gotta, you know, go forward through the green poles, yeah, go backwards through the red poles. And you see these guys with just this incredible core strength maneuvering these kayaks around these poles there. And just for me, I mean, I like kayaking a lot. I've, you know, been kayaking a lot in my life. And so to see it, you know, on that stage, someone who's just really, really good at it, it's just something, again, just aesthetically pleasing to watch about the kayaking slalom for me.
Yeah, I do think in the summer for me, it's always the sprinters. You know, again, we talked about this, but just trying to figure out who the fastest person on planet Earth is, to me, is just the best event. It's the most, honestly, human event to me. And watching basketball is kind of fun. You know, I guess it's fun seeing more so just the collection of talent on a court at one time, because the U.S. is, you know, looking pretty good. And
it's
I think
the NBA All-Star Game of Mistakes.
Kicked the crap out of Puerto Rico earlier today as well. Sorry, spoiler alert. But yeah, I mean, I think in the winter for me, look, I really like the downhill slalom. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anything that's like extreme. I mean, half pipe.
Shout out Sean White.
All the jumps I think are fantastic.
Hey Ev, what do you think about curling?
Actually, I love curling.
I love curling.
That's my favorite. That's extreme.
I think we all remember where we were in 2018 when it was in the eighth set. Team USA dropped that four spot on Canada to seal the gold medal. Do we all remember where we were for that one?
Well, no? So,
am I the only one?
Yeah, exactly.
Must have missed that.
Yeah, sorry about
that. Yeah, there we go. Sorry.
But I was just in Sweden, and curling is a big sport in Sweden. It is interesting, though, like getting a little bit of the international lay of the land, because they care more about the Swedes, for example, than they do about teams. Like, I went to a European football match, and, you know, they're fans, and they get kind of geographic alliances of the teams they like. But Swedish football is not, or soccer here in the States, is not as big as, you know, the Champions League. They don't often qualify. They kind of have to settle for, you know, Europa, different smaller sort of tournaments. So they just absolutely fall in love with individual athletes. And it doesn't matter if they're in the Olympics, if they're competing. And I'll have the name in a sec, but there's a top golfer right now. He's like top five in the country. I think Ludvig is his name. And then, yeah, Ludvig is either his first or last name, but he's like the number four golfer in the world. Everyone in Sweden right now is starting to play golf because of this kid and just this meteoric rise over the past year. And so they have that sort of national pride. The U.S. has been so dominant, I think, in so many sports that it's hard for us to disassociate, you know, the team aspect of things that we beloved, like the Niners, the Giants, or the Warriors, and just focus solely on an individual.
Yeah, it's actually pronounced Ludvig Åberg.
Oh, no, actually, that's Auerberg.
Looks like O on Google, but it could be wrong.
But it's the A with the O at the top, correct?
Yes.
Auerberg. Yeah.
Auerberg.
Yeah.
Anyway, good golfer.
I'm not even going to try to attempt to say it.
Food for thought.
There you go.
But, I mean, I do think that it's a nice break every 4 years to just kind of lock in on a few individuals. But the individuals here in the Bay Area that are kind of stirring the pot, look, obviously Blake Snell threw a no-hitter last night, first in his career, 18th in franchise history. Brandon Ayuk has been in everyone's sights, I think, trying to figure out when he's going to sign. But the guy that I think most people are interested in, and I've talked about this with Ken as well as Guru, you know, to me, Sam, the most intriguing and interesting NFL athlete this season is going to be Brock Purdy.
I'd agree with that.
I think that he will stir the pot nationally, obviously locally, but all eyes are going to be on him in a way that I don't know if there's ever been on a quarterback, just because of the uniqueness of his situation, the contract everyone expects him to get, the amount of money that he's already made, obviously the underdog story that is pretty much only comparable to Kurt Warner, and the amount of success that he's already had to this point in his career.
No, I would agree with a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of eyes on Brock this year, because what he does this year is going to have massive implications for the Niners going forward, not just on the field, but on that cap sheet. I remember we were talking to Phil Simms last month, and he thinks a big part of Brock's next contract will be determined by what he does this year, which I thought was kind of interesting because, I mean, you got Jed York, you know, saying back in February, you know, whether you could say it was wise of him to say that or not is up for debate. When he said, you know, we're going to get Brock a reset the market deal, I thought it meant like, oh, wow, so it's just it feels like it's almost set in stone. It's just it's a formality now. But Brock still has to go out and play the games this year, so there will be a massive scrutiny on him. Every interception he throws, is that taking money off the deal? Every touchdown he throws, there's that, guaranteeing that $300 million contract more. It kind of got buried in the shuffle this week. The Giants kind of gave Brock some cover here, but he was getting picked off a lot at the beginning of the week in practice. I think it was, seven interceptions over a two-day span on Monday and Tuesday this week?
Yes, he did. You want to hear Kyle Shanahan talk about it?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have something good to say about
it. Here was his comment yesterday on Purdy's interceptions.
Always stats are made a big deal in practice, and I know that'll stick out too. And, we never won a lot of picks in practice, regardless of who it is. But, Brock's never really had an interception problem. He's protected the ball pretty well in this league for his 2 years, and he also isn't scared to let it rip too. When you're in practice, if we were really trying to fix that, and if he had a problem, and you come out and that's all we're focusing on, and he still has some stats like that, then that's something that concerns you. But that's something I really haven't been worried about with Brock on, and that's why those stats are also something that hasn't bothered me. Not at all.
He's not bothered by it. He does have a point. Brock pretty solid at protecting the ball. He's got a 2.4 interception ratio in 2022, 2.5 last year. A lot of those interceptions, they kind of came in bunches too. Obviously, there's the four against the Ravens. He had a couple against the Vikings there of the 11 interceptions he threw last year. But I remember last year, a lot of the interceptions he threw were on plays where it's almost like he was trying to do too much. He was trying to play hero ball. He was trying to force the ball into windows that were, into tight windows that he maybe didn't need to do that in. And, I was saying in the last segment, Evan, that I think one of the big attributes of Brock that we're really going to see kind of grow over the next couple of years is that mentality. It's what he has going on between the ears. He is a very smart football player. And as he plays more reps in this league, because again, he's going to be 20. He's going into his age 25 season. He's still a young quarterback. He's still growing and learning. The more that he does that, though, I think you're going to start to see him realize, like, I don't need to force plays, all the time. I can, maybe take a more conservative pass. It will get less yards. That will, maybe we don't get that first down, but at least keeps the ball in our possession. Or maybe he uses his legs a little bit more instead of trying to force a throw. Or sometimes the smartest play is you just got to throw it away. Just, take the L on that play and live to fight another down. So that's what I'm kind of curious to see from Brock this year, is if he can avoid those trying to do too much mistakes and avoid those interceptions that come about as a result of it.
But that's another part of this that I find interesting about Purdy is, he's someone that I think most people define as physically limited, and a lot of it is just how he looks, like his mm-hmm. appearance, right?
Looks like, yeah, like a guy.
Yeah, he's 6 feet tall. He's clean cut, smaller.
Doesn't have the biggest arm.
Yeah, is not the fastest, but he's quick. There's a lot of things that I think are physically underwhelming about him. But I don't think we've found and discovered Brock Purdy's limitations yet, like the full extent of his limitation. I don't think we know what he can't and can't do yet.
No.
Yeah. I think we've seen him just surprise a lot of people. I think we've seen him jump off the page in certain categories, but I don't think we know what his ceiling is yet.
No, and I think that's what's going to make this season so much fun, is I think we're going to start seeing that ceiling come into view a little bit more. Because again, this is, like we said, this is his first real off season. Last year, he was recovering and rehabbing from Ochoa's off season. When training camp opened up last year, there was still some doubt as to who the starting quarterback was going to be. There was still some thought, is it going to be Trey? Oh God, could Sam Darnold, the great thrower of the football that he is, could he sneak in and steal that starting spot? Now obviously all those concerns ended up, being for naught, because Brock absolutely seized that starting spot and, made us look silly forever wondering if it was ever in doubt. This year, though, it's all him. And I think with just having to not have to focus on holding on to a starting spot, doesn't have to think about a Tom Brady showing up, doesn't need to think about a Sam Darnold, usurping him for that starting spot, allowing him to just focus on purely getting better for this season. That is why I think just being able to focus on only football is going to have Brock in such a better mindset going into this year that allows him to, I think, hopefully hit the ground running, push aside these mistakes. If you're going to throw interceptions, do it in training camp. Get them all out of your system right now. Let's get into the regular season. Start seeing how he looks, because again, it's just once Brandon Ayuk, I think, suits up, which I'm feel confident that they'll get this thing worked out before week one. It's just with the amount of space he's going to be able to throw to guys with Ayuk, with Debo, if Ricky Pearsall gets in that mix, George Kittle, that's before you even consider the Christian McCaffrey effect. It's set up so well for Brock to utilize his talents in a way that would build on what he did last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Brock too, look, you know, there's a lot that we have to learn about him. I think also as a person, I think he's been pretty forthright. But one thing that I've always been, I don't know, I guess not concerned, but just kind of inquisitive about, is that in college he was a very aggressive quarterback. Like, he wasn't the guy that was turning it over only 2.5% of the time. He wasn't afraid to let it rip. He wasn't afraid to get aggressive. And I think some of that is because of his surroundings at Iowa State. You know, he didn't play with as much talent as some of the other Big 12 schools and especially some of the SEC schools. So he had to be the guy. He doesn't have to necessarily, he hasn't had to the first year and a half of being a starter for the Niners, be the dude that is, you know, the nail that drives the game. He just kind of has to do what he needs to do, you know, basically play his role. And his role is to orchestrate this offense, and he has done it at a level that is higher than any quarterback that I have seen in the Kyle Shanahan system, and maybe any other quarterback that Kyle Shanahan has had under him outside of one season of Matt Ryan. So Brock Purdy, why I think that the interceptions matter to me, not in a bad way, but he's trying to figure out what he can and can't do, and he's trying to, I guess, kind of recalibrate his own limitations. You know, what he's able to do physically, how he's able to try and fit a ball into a window, if he can trust a receiver or not. These are all things he has to figure out. And it's basically just taking data every single day during training camp of what he's limited in, what he's able to do, what he might not be able to, I don't know, go into his bag to go get. But I think in college, he had to be so aggressive all the time that got him into trouble. Both the Niners, I think we're going to figure out this season whether or not he has to revert back to being the aggressive guy, because if he plays it safe, I think the Niners are going to be successful. And if he, you know, basically just kind of does as the offense demands him to do, he's going to be fine. They're going to win a lot of games. But is the next step for Brock Purdy, you know, being the dude that's not afraid to throw picks, then it's not afraid to turn over the football? Because oftentimes that can be the difference between a win and a loss in a big game.
Yeah, I think part of the next big step for Brock Purdy is you have to kind of rein in that aggression, so to speak. I mean, you love to see that aggression, but you got to kind of pick and choose your spots a little bit too, right? Like, it's, you could be as a, sometimes you need to be aggressive. Sometimes, though, it is, you know, smarter to kind of take that lesser play. And right now, he's in a situation where I don't think he really even needs to be that aggressive, because he's got so many weapons around him. You know, that aggression, like, it might need to come along, you know, starting next year when you start seeing, you know, guys on this offense maybe start to leave. You know, maybe it is because you trade Debo. Maybe it is because George Kittle just starts to regress with age. There will come a time when Brock Purdy is going to have to be that aggressive guy. I mean, I don't have we always kind of go back to this comp of him and Tom Brady, because they were both drafted so late. But I mean, even with Brady, I mean, those first few years, I mean, I don't know what point in Brady's career he kind of became, you know, the guy who was the center point of that offense versus just the quarterback that was leading a talented team with a great defense. I mean,
I think Brady led the league in touchdowns like his second or third season as starter.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe that's why I don't like to use the Tom Brady comp, but like, there's going to come a time when Brock's going to have to step up and be that aggressive guy and carry this load in a way that he doesn't have to right now. But that's the thing. He doesn't have to right now. And if I'm Brock Purdy, that's what I focus on, is focus on the fact that you have guys around you that make it so you don't have to do too much or try or over push things, because that's how you get into these situations where you're making mistakes and throwing interceptions.
No, but I also want my quarterback to, I want my quarterback to be the driving force. Like, that's what I need for my quarterback, and I think that's what the Niners have not had, which is probably the reason why they don't yet hoist a Lombardi trophy. It's because the quarterback has always been a piece.
Not the center.
Not the piece. Yeah. And Brock Purdy, I think, is the first quarterback that I feel confident enough in to be the piece.
I agree with that.
With Kyle Shanahan. So I do kind of need him to be a little bit different this upcoming season.
Well, yeah, I mean, but different in a, like, I guess it kind of defines, like, I guess it depends on just how you define that aggression there. Like, I want him to be different in that I would like to see him, you know, just feel, here's about this. What I would like to see for Brock to take that next step is I want him to reach that point where Kyle Shanahan's like, you know what? If you're going to change things up a little bit, the line of scrimmage, you do that. I think that's it. Like, I know he said on with TK, like, that's his goal this year. He wants to be able to get to that point. Whether he does get there or not, that's going to be for Kyle Shanahan to decide. But you're talking about what the next step looks like of taking control of this offensive system. I feel like it's when you can, you know, have those keys to the car, so to speak, at the line of scrimmage. That's the next level for him. And maybe that kind of enables him to unlock that next ability to be more aggressive while also limiting mistakes and kind of get that best of both worlds situation going there.
No doubt. Let's get our final call into the show here. Gene's out in Oakland, wants to talk about Brock Purdy.
Uncle Gene!
How's it going?
Hey, very well, guys. So, look, I want to follow up on what you said about being more aggressive at key points, because when I went back and looked at the tape of the Super Bowl, the one thing I noticed with Purdy is that he played it safe, you know, certainly much more than he had during the season. And I think in part I would attribute that to the fact that this was his first Super Bowl. I saw at least two or three times when he had Ayuk open for a deep ball and he chose to throw the, you know, the shorter pass. I would fully expect that next time he gets to the Super Bowl, and I expect he will, and I expect it'll be this year, you know, with no problems health-wise or anything else. That he will be more aggressive and he will be more successful as a result.
Right on. Thanks, Gene. I agree.
I think maybe the term here as we get out of here is I want him to be selectively aggressive. You know, sometimes you kind of have to force a little bit more, but it's learning how to pick and choose your spots here. You don't need to be the hero every time when, you know, you got basically the Avengers around you. You know, like Tony Stark doesn't need to save the day every time. You know, let Thor, let Hawkeye, let Hulk, you know, they can carry some of the load too.
Hawkeye.
Maybe, okay, you know, maybe let Thor and Hulk kind of.
Yeah, no, sorry. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think, yeah.
Hawkeye had his moments.
You do have the Avengers, but some guys got a lead, you know.
Well, that's what Tony Stark is, and Tony Stark is Brock Purdy in this situation.
Yeah, I don't
or is
know.
It Captain America? You want to make him Captain America instead?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I mean, that look, that's the thing. We're going to find out a lot about Brock Purdy. I don't know about which Avenger he is, but who he is as a quarterback this upcoming season, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to seeing if the Giants can continue to roll tonight, Sam. So
it'll be nice. You know, let's get more of a winning streak together.
I think so.
Nice to see the A's keep rolling tonight, too. You know, keep taking it to the Dodgers.
Yeah,
overrated chokers.
The only thing I really care about at this point is my bet with a few friends that the A's will not lose 100 games again this season. Which
I think you're sitting pretty there. Yeah.
Well, we're doing a bit better. It was looking not too great for a while, but the fact that they also stood pat weirdly at the deadline, they didn't sell any of their top pieces.
Moved Lucas Hersegg, which
I mean, he was a setup guy and he was hurt for quite a bit of the season. We don't need to dive too much into the A's. They also got a top five prospect from the Royals, which is kind of cool.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, no, I'll be out there tonight. Looking forward to seeing Shohei again.
Yeah, beat LA, man. Love to see it.
We'll see if Ohtani hits another ball 120 miles an hour.
Then have Brent Rooker show him up.
Yeah, exactly. Rooker, Shea, shoot. Lawbutt didn't do much last night.
You can't do it every night.
Not every night, just against the Giants. And we'll see if Kyle Harrison's got something in Cincinnati. But
should
it's
be
been a fun show, man.
It has been good.
Right on. So for Sam Lubman, Ken Luttrell, my name is Evan Giddings, saying so long here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. We'll be back here same place, same time next week from 9 to noon every single weekend right here. Appreciate everybody in our YouTube chat, along on Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Thanks to everybody who's called in today, everybody that's texted in on the Xfinity mobile text line. We say so long and sorry, what, Ken? Oh, yeah. thank you to Dave Fleming, who joined us on the River Islands guest line as well. He's on the call at 4:15 on NBC Sports Bay Area for the San Francisco Giants. So thank you to Dave Fleming, who joined us as well. Fantastic interview you can check out on Odyssey. And that'll do it. So everybody, enjoy your weekend and take it easy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.